All right, now we're still in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Let's skip down to verse 17. When you get a chance, I'd love for you to read all of 2 Samuel 22. I'll tell you this, 2 Samuel 22 is almost 100% identical to Psalm 18. It's the exact same song. The primary difference is that whereas 2 Samuel 22 makes the words David sang to the Lord, the words of this song, when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, as the first verse of 2 Samuel 22, when you look at Psalm 18, it makes that verse actually the introduction. And it starts out with the words, with verse 1, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And then verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. So verse 2 in Psalm 18 reads the exact same as verse 2 in 2 Samuel 22. Like I said, the primary difference between 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18 is that when you read 2 Samuel 22, the first verse begins with the words, David sang to the Lord's word of this, the words of this song, etc. Whereas in Psalm 18, it's just used as an introduction to let us know what that song is going to be about. But verse 1 actually begins with the words, I love you, O Lord, my strength. So whether you read it in Psalm 22, 2 Samuel 22, or Psalm 18, I'd love for you to read that entire chapter, the entire song. But in the interest of time, and for our purposes, let's skip down now to verse 17. Basically, David is giving a detailed account of how God dealt with his enemies. Now, verse 17 says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, for my foes who were too strong for me. I want you to be encouraged, those of you who are genuine children of God. You truly are followers, imitators of Christ. You truly strive to live a life of purity, of holiness, a life of love for God, and a life of love towards all mankind, including your enemies. But your enemies keep repaying your good with evil. They continue to persecute you. They continue to pursue you. They continue to try to seek your harm in any number of ways. And some of them, many of them, are people who go to church with you. And because of the way things are set up, their willingness to commit all kinds of sin in their efforts to harm you, and your unwillingness to participate in sin, even to retaliate. They're strong. There are many of them. They come from out of the woodworks. And it is so fascinating, so intriguing, that so many people who claim to be imitators of Christ, who claim to love God, who claim to love you, join forces with other people who don't even make any pretenses about their religious affiliation. They're not Christians and don't pretend to be. And these folks who say they're Christians, who say they love God, who say they're filled with God's Spirit, join forces with folks who they know are not affiliated with Christ whatsoever. And they come together with those folks to try to harm you. Remember, King Saul was also someone who was supposed to have been one of God's people. And he was the king. That's going to be important to keep in mind. Remember that. Because we've already read, the Lord delivered David from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Who delivered David from the hand of Saul? the Lord did. That's going to be very important to keep in mind, because before this is all over, we're going to find out how the Lord delivered David from the hand of Saul, as well as from the rest of his enemies. Again, verse 18, he rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. There are people who have clout, they have power, they have money, they have resources, they have reach. They're able to make contact with a lot of people and get a lot of evil things done. And they're strong. They're powerful by the weight of their influence and clout that they have. So was King Saul. And David said, he rescued me from my powerful enemy, singular. From my foes, plural, who were too strong for me. Doesn't matter who the kingmaker is. It doesn't matter who that person is, that individual is with all that power. God is much more powerful. Verse 19 says, they confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Now that is so important. God rescued David because he delighted in David. Why? Because David's name was David? Was it because David's father was Jesse? Why did the Lord delight in David? In verse 21, David begins to let us know why. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. Now, David is not talking here about self-righteousness, which means absolutely nothing to God. Listen to what he says in verse 22 as he helps us understand what his righteousness is. Not the Lord's righteousness, David's righteousness. I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. You see, this was David's own righteous choice, David's own righteous decision, David's own righteous determination that he was able to carry out with the help of God, not by the force of God, but with the help of God. God did not make David stay with God. He did not make David keep the ways of the Lord. He did not force David to refuse to turn from God. He wanted David to keep his ways. He wanted David to keep walking with him. And he empowered David to do these things. But he did not force David to do these things. He allowed David to make his own choice. David chose to keep God's ways and to stay with God rather than turning from God. And God gave him all that he needed to keep living for God, to keep walking with God, to remain in step with God. According to the cleanness of my hands, the latter part of verse 21 says, he has rewarded me. Again, verse 22, for I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. All this took place before his sin with Bathsheba. And have kept myself from sin. The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, he says again, according to my cleanness in his sight. That's why the Lord delighted in David. And because he delighted in David, he rescued David. We know that's true because David said it as he was moved by the Spirit of God. Again, 2 Samuel 22, verse 20, he brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me. And then he says, he tells us why. He includes the word because. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And then he tells us what it was about his lifestyle that caused God, that prompted God, that moved God to delight in him. I share that with you because, saints of God, I want us all to love God so much that we allow his Holy Spirit to give us the power we need to live lifestyles that are pleasing to God. First and foremost, simply because God loves us and we love him in return. And because of the mutual love we have for and with our God, we want to please him. And then because we want to please him, we allow our God, we bring a smile to his face as he delights in us. Not because we're perfect, but because we're continually striving for perfection. Deliberately, intentionally, consistently. And then, as God delights in us, we let him also decide how he's going to deal with that which is causing our pressure. So that's it. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 10, which also references this whole matter of David's bouts, if you will, with King Saul. And again, our focus is on trying to discover how God deals with pressures that we are faced with. One of the ways he wants to do that is by causing his peace that comes from his spirit to flow in our hearts and to control our emotions so that we're not overwhelmed by whatever's causing the pressure, nor are we overwhelmed by the pressure itself. But then there are other steps God takes to deal with the pressure that his people face. We read about this whole issue of God having delivered David from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. Actually, Saul was one of his enemies, but the Bible singled Saul out because Saul spent so much time having singled David out. And the Bible is making it clear to us that God considered Saul, whom he had anointed as king, as one of David's enemies, as one of the enemies of one of his faithful servants. Did God actually deal with Saul in such a way as to have, how did he deal with Saul in helping relieve that pressure that David was under? Let's look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10. And when we come back, we're going to begin. And I don't mind if you go ahead and begin to look at this during the break. We're going to begin at verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 1. As soon as we come back.